A local organization looks to remove long-forgotten telegraph cables from area beaches. And a new Sea Alaska land selection bill is introduced in Congress. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The Chilkoot Indian Association is using a federal program to remove old communication cables littering the water and shores of Haines beaches. The Army installed an underwater telegraph cable in 1903 that ran from Haines to Skagway. Later, the line connected to Juneau and beyond. Some of the cable is still visible on local beaches. In 2008, the Chilkoot Indian Association used nautical charts and a survey to locate the cables. The survey found about 800 meters of cable in Portage Cove and another 300 meters of cable near Viking Cove. Brad Ryan is working with CIA to coordinate the removal project. He said the cables do cause a disturbance in subsistence activity and pose a possible snagging hazard for fishing gear, but the primary concern is over potential for contaminants from the cable. Ryan said samples of the cable from other areas of the state have shown that some of it contains lead.
And the real push to pull this came out of places like Sitka, who were starting to document that the lead core in it, which is about 3/4 of an inch in diameter, was leaching lead into the surrounding area.
The CIA is working with Army Corps of Engineers funding through the Native American Lands Environmental Mitigation Program. The program aims to fund the cleanup of former military sites or activity on Native American or Alaska Native lands. The Chilkoot Indian Association has used the program for other projects, Ryan said, like the removal of pilings at Portage Cove a couple years ago and removal of munitions on the beaches there. Ryan said to remove the cables, CIA needs to hire an OSHA-certified scuba diver to survey the underwater portion and remove it to the 100-foot contour line of the beach. He said the cable portion above the water will be easier to remove and dispose of. Ryan said the cable is about 2 inches in diameter and contains different layers of material, including strands of stainless steel, packing material with either lead or vinyl, and a tiny piece of copper in the middle that would carry the actual communication. Once removed, the cable will likely be shipped south on the barge for disposal, Ryan said. CIA hopes to continue using the Corps of Engineers program for other mitigation projects, like an area at 7 Mile Haines Highway.
This summer, hopefully, we'll go out to 7 Mile, and there's a historic construction camp out there, and we'll look for contaminants that may have leached from the construction camp across to the historic fishing grounds there at 7 Mile.
The project to remove the communication cables is currently out for proposal. Alaska's congressional delegation Thursday introduced new Sea Alaska land selection bills. Senator Lisa Murkowski authored her chamber's version, which is co-sponsored by Senator Mark Begich. Congressman Don Young released the House version. Both would turn about 70,000 acres of the Tongass National Forest over to Sea Alaska, the regional native corporation for Southeast Alaska. Murkowski's version includes numerous changes meant to reduce opposition from environmental groups, tourism businesses, and small communities. She says it would still complete a promise made 40 years ago by the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act.
In terms of what we set out to do, which is to provide completion to Sea Alaska in terms of allowing them to select their lands that were committed, this will help finalize that selection and really, I think, work to balance the interests of all those in the region.
Both bills transfer about 68,000 acres to Sea Alaska for timber harvest and development. They remove about 26,000 controversial acres on or near northern Prince of Wales Island and replace them with other parcels. Sea Alaska General Counsel Jaylene Arujo says the new acreage is near some previously logged areas.
There was some infrastructure already in place in North Prince of Wales, so we had to find other alternatives that had proximity to infrastructure that would be helpful in timber development.
Both bills also cut the number of small parcels set aside for tourism, energy, or other economic development. They also reduce the acreage to be selected as sacred or cultural sites. Murkowski's version increases the required stream buffer zones to 100 feet to protect 3 salmon spawning areas. It also balances Sea Alaska's timber selections with 150,000 acres of conservation areas. Don Young spokesman Michael Anderson says that's where his version differs.
The House bill doesn't contain any conservation set-asides. Though the two bills convey the same overall acreage to Sea Alaska, the House bill includes a few more small parcels. The House bill does not include any buffer requirements beyond what is required in the Alaska Forest Practices Act.
Similar legislation has been introduced in previous Congresses. Young's version passed out of the House as part of a larger lands package last year. Murkowski's bill did not make it to the Senate floor.
Klondike Gold Rush National Historical Park has been awarded second place in the National Park Service's My Green Parks contest. The contest is part of the Green Parks Plan, an initiative in the NPS's Call to Action. Announced in preparation for the 2016 centennial, the Call to Action spells out the goals of the Park Service on the eve of their second century of existence. Amongst changes proposed is a call for reduction of the greenhouse gases produced throughout the more than 390 NPS sites. Parks participating in the contest were judged by video that highlight their commitment to the Green Parks Plan. The videos were judged regarding the innovation of the project, the artistic quality of video, community engagement, and park interpretation of their project to visitors. Klondike Gold Rush National Historical Park's video was created by Corey Thole and Jeffrey Nice, with participation by park employees Amanda McCutcheon, Scott Logan, and Ruth Kerr. The video focused upon the park's use of glacial-powered vehicles, or electric vehicles, powered by Skagway's often abundant hydroelectric power.
The greatest beauty of electric vehicles in Skagway is they are essentially powered by rain, melting snow, and the surrounding glaciers of the coastal temperate rainforest in which Skagway is located.
The five solely electrical-powered vehicles and one hybrid have reduced the park's use of gasoline by an estimated 1,500 gallons annually and reduced CO2 emissions by somewhere around 30,000 pounds. The four global electric motor vehicles, or GEMs, can last three full working days, or about 30 miles in the busy summer months, before needing to be recharged. They can plug into an ordinary electrical socket and be ready to go in up to 6 to 8 hours. The step van, with a significantly larger carrying capacity, can attain speeds of up to 60 miles per hour and will go about 20 miles between charges. The overall energy cost for the vehicles comes out to around 2 cents per mile. To view the award-winning video, go to the Sustainability NPS site on YouTube. For KHNS, this is Jim Devereaux in Skagway.
Valentine's Day is the day for most florists, and that's true for Bell's store in Haines, where Doris Bell has been arranging flowers for more than four decades. In all that time, Doris didn't get bored of her own husband giving her flowers for Valentine's, even if they came from her own store.
And it would be the funniest thing because he'd get like one of this and one of that and one green and one this. Bring it home and that, put it in a vase. It was the most beautiful one.
And if you've lived in Haines for any amount of time, you've probably been at the receiving end of Doris Bell's floral creations. And you've probably also know Russ, her son and occasional floral delivery guy. He's been delivering flowers for longer than he's had a driver's license.
Yeah, and we would drive my, and have a little bike, and we put pegs on the back, and one of my skinny friends would ride on the back holding the flowers, and I would drive the bike.
On Thursday, Valentine's Day, Doris and Russ had more than a dozen deliveries to make around Haines. Here's an audio postcard in honor of Valentine's Day with flowers brought to you by Doris Bell and deliveries with the occasional dose of Valentine's sarcasm from Russ Bell.
Consider the, you know, the inclement weather, the driving, the icy driveways. It's considerably dangerous. High-risk occupations just to provide happiness to a small, remote valley.
I am here for Lisa Andreessen for Valentine's.
Aww. You're one of my former students right now. I miss you. Do you remember?
Thank you. We have flowers from your special Valentine.
Oh. What a great day I'm having right now.
Is it the best?
It is. Sweet.
I have delivered here before and gotten basically 3/4 of the way up this hill, spun out, and slid all the way back down it to the highway without going in the ditch. Wired skills of this profession. Hello? Hazel? I was knocking and saying hello. And I got mud all over your freshly cleaned floor.
Oh my god. Oh my.
How are you?
Okay. God, you got to be. I never knew you. Those are gorgeous.
Well, they're for you. It's Valentine's.
Okay, thank you.
You have a good day.
Yeah, thank you.
Again, there's a Valentine's in every building of Haynes today.
In every building of Haynes?
This one is for Jeanette.
Aw, you listened.
It's a lot of responsibility. I can't say enough the weather, inclement conditions, but it's well worth the hugs and kisses in the end.
For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Jim Devereaux and Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.